Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
Why was the law given to Israel? Was it to cut down on their crime rate? Did it serve to reform the criminals in their society? And what about capital punishment? Is it biblical? Well, we're going to hear the answers to these questions on Through the Bible today with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. So if you can, turn in your Bible to Leviticus chapter 20 and find your seat on the Bible bus. And as you're doing that, let me share a great letter from an inmate in Lovelady, Texas. He writes, I've been listening to this radio program for these 10 years I've been incarcerated. I've enjoyed riding the Bible bus with you all with Dr. McGee as our tour guide. He's helped me to understand many passages of Scripture that previously caused me to scratch my head. His explanations of the different books are awesome. Thank you for sending me the study notes. I deeply regret that I wasn't using the study notes sooner, but I didn't think you would send them to me for free, but you did. I don't have money in prison, but I can pray. Isn't it something that I get to partner with you in taking the Word to the world, even while I'm in prison? I pray God will continue to pour His great grace over us so we can speak God's word boldly through the airwaves. Wow, isn't that encouraging? Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we come to our study in Leviticus 20. Heavenly Father, fill us with the knowledge of Your will, with all spiritual understanding, and show us the truth of Your word as we study it. We ask this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
As we come today to the 20th chapter, this actually brings us to the conclusion of this section that we picked up back in chapter, was it 18? I think probably that it was. And at that time, we saw that there were certain social sins God was dealing with His people with during this section. In other words, this is directed to the people. And we have seen that immorality was condemned as He amplified the seventh commandment. And then we saw the social sins, the application of the other commandments to life situations. Now we have in chapter 20 the penalty for breaking the commandments. And what we really have before us is what would be called today the penal code. Dr. Andrew Bonar, in his book on Leviticus, calls this chapter Warnings Against the Sins of the Former Inhabitants. In other words, these are the things that the inhabitants before did. Now, it would seem from this chapter that the death penalty was exacted for breaking any one of the Ten Commandments. Now, it's true not all of them are listed here under the penal code for the death penalty. Only a few, for instance, are, and I think they're given to us, by the way, as examples. Murder, for instance, is not listed in this chapter, yet the death penalty was leveled against the murderer. We've already seen that, and we will see it again when we get to Numbers, the 35th chapter, and we'll call attention at that time. Now, the first thing to note in this chapter is that it is an abridged edition of the penal code. And therefore, it's for that reason that I infer that the penalty for breaking any of the Ten Commandments was death. Now, God, therefore, instituted capital punishment. And remember, He is just and righteous. He applied the death penalty with unsparing severity. Nowhere in the Word of God is punishment, by the way, for the purpose of reforming the criminal. That is something that never was in the books. That was not the objective. And actually, it was not to cut down the crime rate. God didn't give it for that reason. Yet I personally think it will cut down the crime rate. And I think one of the reasons for this spread like a dreadful plague throughout this land of lawlessness is due to the fact that we have weak-kneed judges today that won't enforce the law. And we hear a great many sob sisters cry about the death penalty. Now, God instituted capital punishment for good and sufficient reasons. And for a man to say today that he doesn't believe in the death penalty and he thought it was terrible back in the Bible. I have a question to ask him. You mean that you're better than God then? Because God doesn't make any apologies for it. My friend, justice and righteousness demand punishment. The majesty and the law and holiness of God have been outraged, and the crime must be punished. Listen to God when he put them in the land in Numbers 35. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. You remember that the writer, even in the New Testament, says that the blood of Abel cried out from the ground, demanding it. Let me ask you a question, if you do not believe in capital punishment, and you are a softy in this connection. Now, I do not know who I'm talking to. It may be today that you are a father. Maybe today you're a mother. Suppose that you have several precious little children there, and there came in a criminal, and he was sadistic, took up your children by the heels, and dashed their head against a stone. What do you think ought to be done to them? I'm talking about yours now, not about somebody way over in another state. It's very easy to be theoretical and ideal today. It's very easy for a judge to sit on a bench and say, now, I don't think this poor criminal ought to be sent to the electric chair. I remember when they had this famous case out here in California, and all of this crowd was parading up there at the governor's mansion and parading at the penitentiary that he ought to be let off. Did you know that one of the girls that he had raped and had killed the fella that she was with, did you know that she's in a mental institution, a raving maniac? The parents wrote me when they heard I was for capital punishment, and I came out for it very strong at that time. I have a book on it, by the way. I still believe in it. Think it's God's method today. Think it'd cut down a lot of crime. It was so easy for the judge to make a decision. But my friend, what about these parents? When they wrote me, they said they felt like he should be executed. And they're lovely Christian people. Don't tell me they're not lovely. They're as lovely as you are. You see, when you're talking about somebody else's, it's a different story. When you're talking about your own, that changes the color of the picture altogether. Now, God says that they should be punished. And he went down the list here. First of all, you have capital punishment for those who offer their children to Moloch. Now, I'm reading at verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, notice it's God speaking to Moses now, not Aaron, or not the people here. He's speaking to the lawgiver. And this is legality. Certainly it's legality. Paul says that those in positions of authority that rule over us, they do not carry that sword in vain. They're to use it, my friend. The judge has no right to let a sadistic criminal, a psychotic criminal, loose on society and endanger your family and my family. This is the thing God has in mind. Somebody says, well, the old electric chair, it's a mean old chair. It certainly is. It certainly is. Always think of that ridiculous story about the fellow that apparently didn't have a very good lawyer, and he was sentenced to the electric chair. And he appealed and appealed for this fellow, and finally the criminal wrote to him, he says, now what do you advise? The lawyer hadn't helped him very much. He says, what do you advise? He says, I would advise at this time, when they say sit down, don't sit down. May I say to you, friends, God says, in that day of stoning, it's not pretty. No one has claimed it was pretty. It's an awful thing. It's horrible. But you see, the crimes that are committed are horrible. Now, the first one here, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. That's capital punishment in that day. Now, the worship of Moloch was savage. It was satanic. It was cruel. It was brutal. Children were taken and put into the red-hot arms of an idol, and it was heated red-hot. That was, without doubt, one of the worst things that was imaginable. It was fiendish. It was demonical. And what a contrast that is to the outstretched arms of Jesus, who said, "Suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And any parent that would put their children in the arms of Moloch, stoning just almost too good for them. And friends, all of this child molestation today in our land could be curtailed. The judges would take these parents that brutally treat the little ones that can't protect themselves. The judge should protect them, and God says that he will. This is a tremendous thing, by the way. And that's number one here. Verse 3, "And I'll set my face against that man, cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name." He says, here, notice the language, "I will set my face against that man." Is that the unpardonable sin of that day? I don't know. It's a terrible invective, I know that. "I'll cut him off from among the people." And this was a sin against God. And he says, "You defile my sanctuary and profane my name," when they do that. And you find that God had a great deal to say about that, for they did it in the days of Ezekiel. And he said that's one of the reasons he brought judgment upon him. You see, idolatry was high treason in a nation that was a theocracy. Then in verses 4 and 5, "And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth of his seed unto Moloch," when he takes his children and offers them, "and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, cut him off." Now, for a man to remain silent when a neighbor worshiped Moloch by offering his child was to make him a partner in crime. And to be soft-hearted and soft-headed in executing the penalty made a man guilty. It's interesting that immorality, departure from God, and then reducing or getting rid of the death penalty for certain crimes all go hand in hand today. And we have a lot of people today that are lots better than God. In fact, the matter is they've taken his place. Now we have capital punishment for those who practice spiritism. I'm reading verse 6. "And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul. I'll cut him off from among his people." And this is another practice of the Canaanites who were then in the land. It was a false religion. It was satanic. And somebody says, well, it was probably not a real thing. Well, I think, frankly, there was supernaturalism manifested in Satan worship. The fact of the matter is, the Lord Jesus himself warned that there would appear finally an Antichrist who would be able to perform miracles, and if it was possible, he'd deceive the very elect. Here again, God said, "I set my face against that soul." Now, in verse 27, "A man also, a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them." This verse, I think, should be dealt with here because of the fact that it has to do with satanic superstition. Demon possession is a reality, and it's existed in all ages. Many modern cults and isms are promoted by those in this modern age that are demon-possessed. Somebody was telling me about a certain person. Why, they said, "Dr. McGee, this party has power." Sure, so does the devil. That proves nothing. We have a lot of false cults that are running abroad and very popular today. A departure from the Word of God and a departure from God always leads in this direction. The death penalty was exacted, you see, for participating or practicing these satanic rites of the occult. And why? Well, sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. These verses belong here on demonism. Why? All that preceded them are abominations that required the extreme penalty of death. And these verses are in contrast, and they offer a good and sufficient reason for the death penalty. The people were to be holy because they belonged to God, and He was holy. Any deviation from this standard was a serious breach of conduct, and to practice these abominations that have been named was to turn from God to Satan. And today, people do not seem to realize how serious that can be. This is God's universe. God's a reality, friends. He's moving in the affairs of men today. You don't get by with it at all. Now we have capital punishment for those who curse father or mother. And we have here, for everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father, his mother, his blood shall be upon him. You see, that fifth commandment was not to be considered here of minor importance. We saw in chapter 19, the Israelite was instructed to fear his father and mother. Now the death penalty was inflicted for cursing father and mother. And we're told in the last days there'll be those that will come along without natural affection, and children turning against parents and parents against children. But I do think we ought to write over this law, which is extreme, there can be written the story of grace, and that's the story of the prodigal son. He can come home. Now you have capital punishment for those who commit adultery, verses 10 through 16. I don't care to read all of this because it's adultery in every form that's imaginable. For instance, you have here in this ugly list adultery, incest with a mother or stepmother, a daughter-in-law or mother-in-law, homosexuality, bestiality, and for each of these there was the death penalty. For a man to take a wife and her mother, all three were to be stoned and then burnt with fire. You see, sins of sex is what caused the most powerful empires to topple. I would say sex and liquor were the two things that caused Babylon, Egypt. Alexander the Great, you know, was an alcoholic. Rome, France. France went down. Several of the generals said it wasn't the Nazis that overcame them last time. The thing that got the victory was liquor, the wine of France. And believe me, these two are going to bring this nation down one of these days. Now, this is the thing that pictures the present hour in which we live. They say sex and drugs today. Well, after all, alcohol is a drug. And like other drugs, can be used in the right way, but not the way Americans use it. Now you have certain offenses which require lesser penalty. And he mentions these. I would rather not go into detail concerning these because you can read them here. A lesser crime, a lesser penalty. And then you have here the conclusion to the law of holiness. Now you remember that we had an introduction, a prologue to this section back in 18. Now we have a conclusion or a postscript to it. Listen, ye shall therefore keep all my statutes, all my judgments, and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. Now, God said, I put these people out for committing these awful sins. He said, I'll put you out. And He's no respecter of persons. I'll put you out if you do not keep these commandments and if you go and do these things. Well, did you know that their failure to obey brought on them the Babylonian captivity? I think it was finally settled in the reign of Manasseh that they must go into captivity. Listen to this. In 2 Kings 21, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now, what is God going to do? Well, God made it very clear. I'll drop down and read in this section. He says to them, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I've chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearken not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And even the priests joined in that. And as the preachers of certain schools today are joining in on all of this awful lawlessness and sexuality today. Now God says to them, ye shall not walk in the manner of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. That's verse 23. And God had put them out for that reason. Now he says, but I've said unto you, ye shall inherit their land. I'll give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I'm the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. And it was a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, you know that timber covered that land. They have a great planting taking place over there today of trees. I set out 5 trees over there, one for each member of my family, one for the church, and then one for a Jewish friend. I put out 5 trees in one of the forests over there. I believe in that, but there was a time that land was covered with it. Now listen to the Lord. Verse 25, you shall therefore put a difference between clean beasts, unclean, and he goes all the way down the list, and he says, ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and I've severed you from other people that ye should be mine. And may I say, they're out of that land today. You know why? Because they disobeyed God, somebody says, but they're back there. By the way, how are they getting along? They have had trouble every minute. They've been back in the land. You know what the problem is? When they went back to the land, they didn't return to God. May I say to you, friends, when they do return to God, which they will do someday, then there'll be blessing in that land. And God put down these commandments. And you know God hadn't changed his mind, friend. This nation can go down also. What a lesson that we have in this particular section of the Word of God.
Yes, that is a sobering lesson that we can learn today from Leviticus. The instability in the Middle East is an ancient one, and so is this one truth. There will never be peace apart from God, not in the world, not in our hearts. Look to him today. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm a bit surprised how much I'm enjoying these studies in Leviticus. If you'd like to review them on your own and maybe go a bit deeper, then pick up Dr. McGee's commentaries on Leviticus in 2 paperback volumes. They're available at a reduced price this month. You'll find them in the online store at ttb.org, or you can always give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, Dr. McGee mentioned his booklet, Is Capital Punishment Christian, on the broadcast. You can find that booklet to read or download on ttb.org/booklets. Now, as so many other resources that we have available, they're at ttb.org, and they're available for free, by the way. As with so many other resources on ttb.org, that's available to you for free of charge. Now, we got a text the other day that I wanted to share. It's from Kevin, and he simply wrote, press on to the prize and keep hopping on the Bible bus. Isn't that great encouragement? Don't you love to hear from the other folks on the Bible bus? Well, if you've not yet shared your story of what God is teaching you through our studies together, this is a great time to do it. Why? Because December's Letter Month. We love Letter Month here at Through the Bible because we love to hear how God is at work. So take a minute and send an email to BibleBus@ttb.org or write to Box 7100. Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. If you prefer Facebook, then tell your story there. Just do it today. We're grateful that God has joined us together in taking the whole word to the whole world. Praise God for other like-minded followers of Jesus Christ. And pray for each other, won't you? And pray for our mission together. I'm Steve Schwetz, grateful for you and praying that God will bless you today with His peace. See you tomorrow.
Jesus made it home. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.